Welcome to day 160 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're concluding today looking at those aggravations that make some sins more heinous than others. We've seen so far that sins receive their aggravations from the persons offending, if more is required of them, from the persons offended, if a greater duty is owed them, from the nature and quality of the offense, and today we'll find out that others come from circumstances of time and place. And that's the answer to question 151, part 4 of the answer, from circumstances of time and place, if on the Lord's Day, or other times of divine worship, or immediately before or after these, or other helps to prevent or remedy such miscarriages, if in public or in the presence of others who are thereby likely to be provoked or defiled. So let's look at the proof texts first, that sins receive their aggravations from circumstances of time. 2 Kings 5:26, and he said unto him, that is unto his servant Gehazi, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? Sins receive their aggravations from the circumstances of the place, Jeremiah 7:10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Isaiah 26:10, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Sins receive their aggravation if committed on the Lord's Day. Ezekiel 23, starting at verse 37, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols they have committed adultery. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus they have done in the midst of mine house. Sins are aggravated when committed on other times of divine worship. Isaiah 58, starting verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day unto the Lord? And Numbers 25, starting at verse 6, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Sins receive their aggravation if immediately before or after these. Before, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Or after these, Jeremiah 7, starting at verse 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye knew not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Proverbs 7:14, I have peace offerings with me, this day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. John 13:27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, etc. Sins receive their aggravation when committed either before or after these times of worship, or before or after other helps to prevent or remedy such miscarriages. Ezra 9, starting verse 13, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst thou not be angry with us till thou hast consumed us? And finally, these sins receive aggravations if in public or in the presence of others who are thereby likely to be provoked or defiled. 2 Samuel 16:22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. 1 Samuel 2, starting at verse 22, Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. So that concludes the question 151. What are those aggravations that make some sins more heinous than others? Now, having looked at all these sins, and not only here in question 151, but also all of the sins that are discussed in the large exposition of the Ten Commandments, question 152 asks, What doth every sin deserve at the hands of God? Answer, every sin, even the least, being against the sovereignty, goodness, and holiness of God, and against his righteous law, deserveth his wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come, and cannot be expiated but by the blood of Christ. So let's look first at the proposition that every sin, even the least, being against the sovereignty of God. James 2, starting at verse 10, For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Every sin is also a sin against the goodness of God. Exodus 20, verse 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Every sin is also against the holiness of God. Habakkuk 1:13, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Leviticus 10:3, Then Moses said unto Aaron, This it is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Leviticus 11:44-45, For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Every sin is a sin against his righteous law. John 1 John 3:4, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And Romans 7:12, Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Every sin deserves his wrath and curse. Ephesians 5:6, Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Galatians 3:10, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. They deserve his wrath and curse both in this life and that which is to come. In this life, Lamentations 3:39, Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? And Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15 all the way to the end. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, etc. They deserve his wrath and curse in the life which is to come. Matthew 25:41, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And all this wrath cannot be expiated but by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Now, question 153, which immediately follows this rather grim description of what sins deserve, asks, "What doth God require of us that we may escape his wrath and curse due to us by reason of the transgression of the law?" The answer, that we may escape the wrath and curse of God due to us by reason of the transgression of the law, he requireth of us repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and the diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation. And we read this question and looked at it on day 88. So technically, that ends our look at the Westminster Standards. We've now covered all of the questions in both catechisms as well as the substance of the Westminster Confession of Faith here on day 160. So technically, that being the end, I guess I could say you're dismissed. Thanks for listening. However, I'm going to go ahead and look back at certain of the questions and give some surprising revisions, some might even say shocking revisions of the answers that are given. And I will start tomorrow on day 1 or day 161, depending on how you look at it, with question 149. And I think it'll be a very interesting answer. I think it'll be beneficial. It'll be, if you're a Berean, beneficial to you because it'll cause you to look at the scriptures and study the scriptures to see if these things are so. So I hope you'll join me again tomorrow, even though technically we're finished with our study of the Westminster Standard. So thank you very much for listening. Hope to see you again tomorrow.